From the BizTalk Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. It is the first weekend in February. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend. I hope you have success with all of your bets and wagers for the Super Bowl. I, of course, already know who is going to win. It is not your team. It is my team. I am going to predict. I think the Patriots are going to win. I don't really like that, but I do think that that's what's going to happen. We've got a great show for you today. Fantastic. We're going to talk about getting funding. We're going to talk about copywriting, two very important things that entrepreneurs must be able to do. You got to be able to sell it, and you got to be able to raise some money. So we've got a great show for you today. I appreciate you being with us, and we got to jump in. We got so much to talk about. We're going to get started right now. I am very excited to introduce you to my first guest today. I think you're going to find this really useful because when it comes to getting money, some of the biggest problems and pressures that we small business owners have is finding financing. So I'm really excited to introduce you to Sam Shapiro. He is the CEO of a company called Fundomate. Before that, he was with Funders Cloud and also with a marketing company called Heights Marketing. But his current company, Fundomate, is the first and I think only one I know of that's an automated search engine designed to service the lending industry. Sam, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing, thank God, enjoying the rain in Los Angeles.
Well, yes, y'all need it there. So tell me, Fundomate, is it for exactly who is the target customer here?
We're working with small to medium-sized businesses that have been in business for longer than 6 to 12 months and are looking for a short-term solution for capital and funding for their business. So whether they have an SBA loan, where we've seen a big, big increase in applications submitted since the government shutdown, where people SBA loans have been postponed and the closing has been pushed off because of the government shutdown, people that need bridge money for, you know, tax issues, partner issues, expansion, et cetera. So obviously, fast money is not the cheapest money, but we always explain our businesses and what we're looking for is to relay the message that there is a solution to be able to get quick capital for a short amount of time where it makes sense. So, you know, a lot of people are stuck in the ideas looking exactly what the money's cost them to the dollar and saying, hey, if I went to the bank, I can get a 6 or 7% loan with an SBA, you know, program, et cetera. But the amount of effort and work that goes into that and the time is sometimes a lot less valuable than the money you're putting up for it. So, yes, you can get cheap money, but that's going to take you a long time and you may miss the opportunity that came across you, or you may not have that capacity to be able to put the work or the paperwork or the time in business, et cetera. So we focus on helping businesses that are already in growth, you know, mode to be able to expand that growth quicker by using some type of short-term capital program. So if people are familiar in the merchant cash advance space in general, there has been a lot of negative press on that. And what we're trying to do is bring technology, automation, and giving resources to businesses to be able to get a healthier product that really values them as what they've accomplished in business to be able to get programs that work for them and Fundomate. And what we've pioneered in the last, you know, year and a half, we've really, really excelled at building automation technology that gives, you know, sophisticated business owners that want to do things online and don't want to pick up the phone and get chased down and deal with, you know, quick salespeople selling them. And if you look at our Trustpilot reviews, we have hundreds of five-star excellent reviews on automation, customer service, and really building a brand that's transparent, et cetera.
All right, Sam, that was a very good introduction. I got a lot out of that, but I got some follow-up questions for you. So first of all, it's a search engine. So you don't actually provide the advances, right? You provide the access to the people who are going to give you the great deals, right?
Actually, we started out as strictly a search engine. And what we found is that since most of the industry is actually pushed by brokers that are spending a lot of money originating leads, et cetera, what we've accomplished is that a lot of the funders that are accepting applications from outside brokers, they have a very strict criteria and they don't look right or left and they won't go outside those boundaries because they need to have an underwriting guideline that fits all brokers that submit deals. And what we found was that over 50% of the customers and the businesses that were applying for funding on our platform were not getting approved because of this square, you know, boundary underwriting. So what we've done is we've partnered up with a sister platform and we raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars via credit investors to give merchants and businesses the ability to get better programs because we are working directly with the business owners coming directly to our platform. So we have the leverage of speaking with the customer and there's no broker in the middle. So we're able to build specific and, you know, more strategic funding programs for businesses using our sister platform. We also do broker out some of these funding programs to large funding companies that like doing bigger deals or longer term deals or higher risk deals, et cetera, if they don't fall into the deals that we can do with our sister platform.
All right. And you said that these are merchant credit advance or cash advances, right? Merchant, does that mean that I have to be doing my credit card processing with you? Is that a part of how all of this works?
Absolutely not. So it started off as merchant cash advance, but a merchant is somebody that's a business owner, really. I think it's the ancient term for business owner, you know, a merchant, you know, the merchants in the market. I don't think they accepted credit cards in the medieval ages. So I think the merchant term is just, you know, the term used instead of saying a cash advance, which is somebody taking a cash advance on their credit card. They use the word merchant cash advance, and that's how the name got there. But no, they just need to be in business and have a business bank account.
Okay. And the uses of the capital, right? Are you going to care about that, right? Or does it need to be for some sort of growth-related type thing, like a new location or a marketing plan or something?
As long as the money is not being used for something that's negative, like gambling, you know, or some type of, you know, negative attribute, then I think as long as it helps the business, whether it's an IRS payment, a partner buyout, you know, some type of other loan that's coming into effect that's going to triple an interest rate or et cetera, then that's what it really is. The business owner has the right to use it wherever he'd like to, as long as he's okay with it.
And what about rates and collateral?
So we have multiple programs across the board. It's very hard to pinpoint a rate. Most of the programs we do are not considered loans. They're actually funding. They're called, we're buying future account receivables from business owners. So if a business owner is depositing $50,000 a month in his business bank account, and that money is being used to turn over the business, then essentially our investors and funders are buying a piece of his future deposits of his bank account. So it really, really varies. We have programs that go as low as, you know, 0.25% or 0.5% a week, and you can keep the money for as short as a week. So if you need an SBA bridge loan to cover payroll and your SBO is refinancing, your SBA is refinancing, or you have another program that's coming in, or you're waiting for an invoice that's coming from Walmart that we have one of our customers we just did has a 30-day turnover on their invoices from Walmart. So they need to be able to cover the supply that they're pushing there for the next order. So it's really short-term programs. And then we have longer programs that go as low as, you know, 1-1-4 factor rates, which essentially in $100,000 would be a $14,000 payback over 12 months.
All right. So when you were just describing the Walmart situation, I was thinking, and I'd been thinking prior, that these are the perfect loans for flippers and people who all of a sudden get huge orders of merchandise that they have to bring on for a retail situation. Am I right on that? Or are those type situations?
Yeah. You're hitting the hammer on the nail there. It's a lot of people that have, you know, opportunities to buy containers and closeouts, or they have, you know, a 30-day order that's coming in from out of the country or out of the state that they need to put the deposit down for. Now, a lot of times, you know, the merchants don't have the best credit, you know, and the businesses don't have the best credit, or they don't have the cleanest paperwork. But that doesn't stop it. What happens is the rate gets a little more expensive. The cost of the capital does get a little more expensive. And we explain to the customer, and most of the customers understand, is you need to look at what the money's doing for your business. And that's how to look at a business in general. If you're always stuck on what money's costing you, and if and maybe you can get it cheaper, and that's where you're spinning your circle trying to get it, and especially in startups. Fundamate was once a startup. I guess maybe since we're still in 5 years, we can be considered a startup. But thank God, you know, we've built a tremendous business with 20 plus, you know, people in the customer service and scoring and operations and tech department. But what we've learned is you have to look at what's your growth value when you're taking in outside capital and funding. Is this money going to give me more to the general picture of my business? Is it going to grow and bring me closer to my vision? You may not make actual returns and profit on that exact dollar that you're taking out, but it's kind of like fuel, you know, or more like car insurance. The car insurance doesn't help you drive your car, but it protects you so you can drive your car with peace of mind. So it's costing you money, and God, and thank God you don't get into any accidents. Then you gave money to the car insurance for no reason. But the car insurance gave you that peace of mind to be able to drive the car, and that's the value they're bringing them. Same idea. It's kind of insurance on the rest of your business. So if you're doing $1 million a year in sales and you have a 7 to 10% profit margin on that $1 million, you may be paying a little more for this $100,000 that you need to keep this, you know, ball rolling.
We got to cut it off right there, and we will be right back with more of Sam Shapiro and Fundamate. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us. Again, we are speaking with the CEO and founder of Fundomate, Sam Shapiro. Sam, this seems like an absolutely great idea. You know, the rates are high, it's short-term money, but if that's what your business needs, and I hear that all the time, this is a fantastic solution. How many different vendors are you pulling from? So I know you have your own product, but you're also pulling from other people as well, right? So
we have about... It's not our own product. It's a subsidiary, a sister company. But we have about 10 different funders that we've forged very, very close relationships with. And relationships are key in business, you know, to be able to build that trust and that open pathway to be able to get things done quickly. Like I explained to you earlier, the difference between, you know, fast money and cheap money. There's no such thing as fast, cheap money. So with the fast money, we get deals done as soon as same day. So we get an application and we get an approval out, and all we got to do is get signed paperwork. And we're working with about 10 outside funders and some different lenders to be able to provide these programs.
Well, I think it's a great idea for the right client. Tell us how you got started. So obviously this is a business that's been around, but you've got a whole new angle with it. The whole automation piece. I love that. And I'm sure that's going to really be compelling to the small business owners. Talk to me about the evolution of the idea, how you got started. How'd you get your very first customer?
So I was in this merchant cash advance space, like we discussed earlier, since, you know, I got out of school, and I've always been gifted with the gift of the jab and able to be able to, is it the gift of the gab? Yeah, I think that's what it is. To be able to, you know, speak smoothly and be able to explain ideas good to customers. So I was a great salesperson in this product, speaking to customers and explaining them why these products are beneficial to their businesses. And I realized that it was inefficient how much work and legwork the brokers had to do and the customers had to do to get deals done. So I started out by being involved in building Funders Cloud, which was a loan engine for brokers to be able to shop their deals to multiple lenders. And then once we got Funders Cloud, we realized that the whole idea that customers have to deal with a broker and overpay so many fees and have to wait for the broker to find the right lender, et cetera, we said, why not bring the customer straight to the platform and give them an automated tool that in 1 or 2 minutes they can complete an application, give us all the data, and the technology can actually go ahead and look at that data and find the right funder for them. So that's how we started out about 3+ years ago. And we got our first customer that took $180,000 from one of the public companies in our space called OnDeck without even speaking to anybody. He submitted the application online. The deal went straight to OnDeck because it matched OnDeck. OnDeck gave it $180,000 approval via the API that was plugged in. Merchant accepted money, and he had money in his account the next day. And we got our piece for bringing that deal to OnDeck. And then we used that money to keep marketing. But over the
last
year...
That's such a cool story, Sam. That's an amazing story, man. You know,
I wish every customer after that was that smooth. You know,
okay, thank you for saying that. I'm glad you said that, because I was going to get
That was beginner's luck. You know, my endorphins and adrenaline were pushing through the roof that day, but it kind of came down a little bit and realized. And the first thing is, you know, I learned a lot from Elon Musk, and I've had some of my own entrepreneur friends that have given me advice that have built some startups, and I always had this rule. I watched Elon Musk once say on a video that building a startup, building a company is like chewing glass and staring into the abyss. You know, so after that first deal, we went on a pretty good journey doing that for a while, you know, really grinding away. And another real rule that I always followed was when you split your focus in half. A good friend of mine, David Schottenstein, told me he built some really successful companies. And he said, when you split your focus in half, it's no longer 50-50. You lose half your focus splitting it. So now you're left with 25% of your focus just trying to split it. So I always had a rule that if it didn't fall into the vision of Fundamate, we weren't going to pursue it. So we never split our focus. And that vision is actually coming into fruition right now, where we're pushing the model, where we're even trying to go a step further in the automation. A lot of our customers come from, half our customers come from direct marketing on Google, Bing, Facebook, you know, et cetera, and some social media and PR. But more than the majority of our customers come from credit card processors, merchant providers that give POS systems and processing to their customers, and they want a capital program for their customers because they're already dealing with their customer's finance, and their customer reaches out to them looking for finance. So we've white labeled our program, our platform, Fundamate, for the credit card processors, saying they can now have their own capital department, and we're servicing it and giving them the technology, the automation, and sharing the revenue created from that, but providing a lower attrition so these processors, these merchant processing providers, aren't losing customers because the customer is going to get funding somewhere else and then they take away their processing, et cetera. So we're looking at Square. Square is one of the largest credit card processing technology companies in our space, you know, and they've grown tremendously. I love following their stock and their business. And if you look at where their revenue is coming from, it's coming from financing their customers, giving their customers merchant cash advances, and then taking back the money through the credit card split. So we rolled out a program with an automated API that goes straight into processors' POS systems, and it actually parses the data. So it tells us how much the customer is doing in just transactional data. So only non-intruding data. So we don't know the customer's name. We don't know anything. We only know what he's doing in processing, how many customers he's accepting, how much dollar amount, and then it gives him an exact offer of what he qualifies for. So then the customer could just say, oh, great, I qualify for $52,000 with a payback of $54,000, and it's going to take 10% of my credit card sales going forward. So we're kind of giving credit card processors and businesses the edge to be able to compete with the bigger processors that have technology and have customer base, so they're able to build resources. So our focus has been building alternative capital solutions for large business-to-business enterprises to give businesses the leverage they need to be able to pull out quick capital to grow their business.
Sam, I love it. And that's actually a space I know something about. So the merchant credit card space is something I know, and you're right, that is so attached to their finances. And then someone comes in and says, I'll give you a loan. But of course I have to pull your credit card processing and you have to come with me. And I've seen that so many times. And so I love the fact that you're solving that problem as well. That just makes a lot of sense. Sam, how can we find
out? It's really our vision and our goal moving forward to be, you know, position ourselves as a technology fintech company providing these solutions for processors. And we really created a really cool model that gives the processor the ability to start their own, you know, capital wing with their brand without leveraging any of their resources. So we literally give them an out-of-the-box lending program, you know, funding program that has marketing, collateral, automation, you know, underwriting tools, scoring models, and scoring matrix to be able to just put offers and an API right in the POS system, right in their email box, et cetera.
Fantastic. Give me the website, social media that you want us to follow, all that stuff, please.
So we're fundamate.com. Fundamate is a play on automate. So it's fundomate, F-U-N-D-O-M-A-T-E. So automated funding, Fundamate. We're on Facebook as Fundamate. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. Sam Shapiro. And you can call our office at any time. Our local number is 310-734-5955. If you're hesitant, you can look at Trustpilot and see our 5-star excellent reviews. Every one of our, you know, out of thousands of customers that we've serviced, we've gotten hundreds to tell us how well they enjoyed working with our automation, our technology, and our seamless and transparent process.
Sam, great job, buddy. Thanks a lot for being on the show. Great product. You're doing it.
Appreciate you having me.
Great stuff.
Appreciate you having me.
Well, you were a great guest, man. We're going to have you back. When you do your, 10,000th transaction, will you come on the show and announce it here first?
I think we're going to have to go back in time to do that.
Oh, okay. You killed me. All right. What I was going to say million. I was like, no way. That's way too high. 100,000. Where do you want us to go?
We could do 50,000, or okay, we could do 100 million in funding. I think we just hit 75 million.
That's it. That's the number we want. 100 million in funding.
No commitments.
Yep. All right.
No commitments. But God willing, you're playing hard to get.
I love it. And we will be right back. Welcome back to School for Startups Radio. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. Great stuff coming up here in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about copywriting, one of the most important things that us entrepreneurs have to do and we forget about so frequently, the ability to express in a clear, concise hook why we are sexy, interesting, and unique. And it's such an important skill, so we're going to talk about that in just a second. But before that, I wanted to remind you that here, February, we are in February now, is Black History Month. And in appreciation for that, we are doing African American Entrepreneurship Month here at School for Startups Radio. The entire month is devoted to great African American entrepreneurs and thought leaders and sharing their stories, and more importantly, their tips and their tricks and their advice for how to be successful. So great stuff. Make sure you check out the website, schoolforstartupsradio.com, to see all of those episodes. We will have a fresh episode every day with two or three great African-American entrepreneurs. And you know what's interesting? I'm getting a lot more women than I am men. I'm having some fantastic interviews for both sexes, but the women, unbelievable stuff that we are discovering, learning, and sharing with each other. Just some great interviews, and I hope you will pay attention and be a part of that. All right, time to get on with the show. Let's meet Lucas. You know, as entrepreneurs, one of the single most important things that we do is create a way for people to remember who we are, what we do, and it can't go on for 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I think you have something like 10, 15 seconds to create the image of what you do. It's why your words, the copywriting that you have about your business, and it's in the brochures, the websites, the business card, your 10-second elevator pitch, all of that is so incredibly important. I'm very excited to welcome my first guest to the show today to talk about exactly this. His name is Lucas Reshevsky. He is at very top of the copywriting profession. He has gotten, listen to this, $100 million in client results and has trained 120 junior copywriters with his system. He is the creator of the Copywriting Mentorship Program, author of Newsletters for Freelance Copywriters, and is also the guy behind the Copywriting Business Formula. Pretty cool. Lucas, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm doing great.
All right. I'm a dentist, actually. I don't know if you knew this, but I'm actually just a dentist. And I have a little dental practice here in Atlanta. And my slogan is, I haven't killed anyone yet. What do you think?
That's, I think a lot of people are afraid of dentists. It could work. It could work.
Uh-huh. But, you know, to a more serious point, Lucas, I'm a dentist. I have nothing unique differentiating about me at all. I'm a dentist, you know, I mean, what the hell can we say about that? I haven't killed any, you know, there's nothing to say.
Right. I think, you know, honestly, that's probably a belief that a lot of business owners have is like, what I do is indifferent. You know, I'm plumber number seven in my town or, you know, but the truth is you as a plumber, you as a dentist, you know what's different about you versus your competitors in your space, right? You can look around and see Jerry's plumbing doesn't show up on time. You've heard people complain. You've been in to fix Jerry's plumbing pipes, the pipes that they did, right? So a lot of your experience as a business owner, you can think of the differentiation between you and your competitors off the top of your head. But when it comes to writing or marketing, you're like, something switches, you know, you're like, oh, I can't talk about that, or I can't use that, or I can't differentiate that way. It has to be some other way, or it has to fit this template or that model. So I feel like a lot of people get in their own way when it comes to marketing, because it sounds scary, but a lot of the basics are already up there for most people.
You know, Lucas, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I have so many entrepreneur friends who can't tell me that the answer to that, you know,
really?
I just see that a lot.
Well, let's talk about it. Like, are they startup, like brand new, never even started their business yet, or are they down the road a little bit?
Both. And, you know, the down the road people scare the daylights out of me. I know what you're getting toward. At some point, you should figure out who your target customer is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, year two or three of the business, right? But I meet people in both categories that literally will tell me, I'm a dentist. I am plumber number seven. What's different about you? I wash my hands every day, man. Between every plumbing, and the great thing is the plumber dentist, you know, he does both. And you really hope that he washes his hands in between jobs there, you know?
That's, I think the curse of the new entrepreneur is to not really have clarity and really not like know what you're doing, what you're all about. You just know you want to do something, and where you're currently at kind of sucks. And that's about it.
All right. So let's go through some process now. Is there a way? So let's assume that you are correct, that I have some clue about how I'm unique and different, right? Mm-hmm. And I am really young. And so I'm the young hip dentist in the community. The other two dentists are both 60 and I'm 33. And, you know, people say that, oh, you go to the young guy, the hip guy, right? You know, one of my my receptionists even has a rap song album that they did about 10 years ago.
That, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know. Different target markets, maybe. Although you could specialize. You could specialize in veneers. You could specialize in something like that. I don't know. I think for me, the first place I go isn't internal. I'm not looking inside to see how do I feel different. And you know, I'm not trying to come up with the answers there. I look outward. I listen. So I'm going to go talk to people who are in the market for dentist work, you know, whether it's they need big work, like, you know, they need the veneers, they need the fills, you know, they need the crowns, all that kind of stuff, or maybe the little stuff. They haven't gone in for a checkup in 4 years. Why haven't they done it? And I want to listen because they're going to tell me exactly why or why not they haven't done something. And that's probably more than the other two dentists in town have done, is just listen to the potential clients and what they're thinking and what they're doing.
Because that's going to give you a lot of stuff. Potential clients or existing clients? Because I would want to... Right. Because if I find out that 90% of my clients to my dental practice tell me the reason they chose me is because they live within 2 miles from me, I'm going to market the daylights within 2 miles and zero if you're 2.1 miles, right?
You would start there, right? Because there might be another reason. How many other dentists are within 2 miles, right? So that's an important piece of information. If you're the only dentist within 2 miles and they have to come to you, it's a different marketing conversation than like if you are one of three and they chose you for some reason, right? And then there's the question of, okay, if you go to 2.5, if you go to 3, how many more dentists are there and how can you start to get that market share? So there's a lot of different conversations to have with yourself about that from listening, from getting that data. You know, it's not A to B. It's not binary. I think about it in layers, honestly. And when I train my writers, I have a whole process that I go through, but I call them the levels of awareness of your marketplace. And it essentially goes from what you're talking about, your existing customer, they're in the chair, you know, they've got a mouthful drill and they're telling you something. That is your level one aware. They are very aware of you, right? But then it goes all the way out to level 5 where they've never heard of you and they've never even considered dentist work before. And everybody in between that could be a perceived, you know, a possible client for you is at some level of awareness of where you're at and why they're going to work with you. And so a marketer's job or a copywriter's job or your job as a small business owner is to really find those pockets and then communicate with them in the way they need to be talked to.
All right. So I love this. And this makes so much sense, Lucas. Listening first, right? What if my results are, you know, I asked 20 people and 4 of them say, I heard you through word of mouth, and 4 say you're close by, and 4 say, well, I think you're kind of cute, and 4 say, you were on my insurance plan, and 4 say, I don't know how I ended up here. I just ended up here. You know, I have no results there, do I? What did I just
learn
from that? Oh, okay.
You absolutely do. So the first 4 who are like, I heard you from referral, your next question needs to be, oh, who referred you? Who referred you? It wasn't an existing client. Was it an ad that you ran in some medium, like a newspaper or whatever? Like those first four have a key to why the referral system in your business is working or not working. The second one are, you know, the locals, the people who were there, and you're like, okay, where do you live? What's your neighborhood? What's, you know, like how, what do I know about you? Is this an affluent neighborhood? Is it not an affluent neighborhood? Because now that information is viable for potentially reaching out to that specific area, maybe doing a quick event there. You know, different marketing ideas come from the information you're getting. I mean, and even, I know it was tongue in cheek for you, but even the cute thing, even if four people come in and say, I came to you because you were the cutest dentist, then that means that you need to get your face on all of your advertising. because if that's truly a decision-making factor for your audience, then your face needs to be on the videos and on the commercials and on the ads and all of that. And all of that is really valuable information.
Lucas, I did an ad once and the magazine called up a month later and paid me to take my face off of the ad.
Good data.
Yeah, we're going to be back in just a second with more with Lucas. We will be right back. Again, we are speaking with Lucas Rzeszewski. He is a copywriter extraordinaire. You can go to his website. He has got classes that have almost just finished, I guess, but I'm sure he'll be starting them again soon. He has a really cool 12-week program called Copywriting Mentorship. The last one started back at the end of January, so he's almost done with it now. I'm sure another one. Well, Lucas, when's the next one going to start?
So the next one is probably going to start in about 4 to 6 weeks. We typically go about 12 weeks from the end of each program and then give a little buffer period. So you're probably looking at the next one being about a month from now. So mid-April, something like that.
All right. One of your ex-students said it was the best copywriting class you'll ever take. God, that student was really good. I mean, look at that incredible line they wrote there. You know why they wrote that so well? Because their teacher was so good, damn it.
I try.
All right.
Unpaid.
Yeah, sure. Right. Number one, we're going to listen. And then we did like 1B. Like a little tangential thing of some analysis, mm-hmm. right? Do we want to call right. that a separate step number two, or do we want to give it the 1B moniker?
I think that once you listen, the next step is to analyze, but it's really to observe, you know? I threw out a bunch of different ideas, you know, like, hey, you could do this, you could do that. That's the fun part of marketing. Like that's all the ideation and creative, but all that came from the initial analysis of the data. Like, okay, you're cute. Okay, you're within 2 miles. That's important information and the context around it really matters. So I think you listen first, you write everything down, even if it sounds stupid. And then once you've got it all down, you start to look for the patterns. You start to look for the different pieces that could be relevant, might not be relevant at all.
All right. And that's kind of a hard step, isn't it? Because
it is.
Yeah. So is there any trick there?
So, yeah, I think, and this might be relevant too, because in our dentist example, you're assuming that the guy's got a dental degree and a practice and he's pushing for that. You know, he's already fairly well established. If you're an entrepreneur who's just in that startup phase of not really knowing, like we talked about in the beginning, it can be hard to even narrow down who you want to talk to first or who you want to listen to first, you know? So I think the step there is to, if you're at a point where you're still trying to decide what you're trying to do, you need to go really broad before you go deep. So you need to listen to, you know, 35-year-old Sally talk about her 4-year-old and listen to her problems and see if that's something that your business can help solve, even if you're a tax, you know, if you're an accountant, you know? And then you listen to these different types of people, you figure out where the biggest service you can offer is, and then you double down on that. You start to listen deeper, you start to analyze, okay, maybe 35-year-old Sally with a 4-year-old who lives in this zip code can only makes this much and doesn't need me, but Sally with her 4-year-old in this zip code definitely needs me because she's got all this stuff going on. And it's that level of analysis that just comes from looking at what you've got. And if you don't feel like a statistician or a mathematician, that's fine. You know, you have to listen first, capture everything you can in any way that you can, and then just start to really look at it and look for patterns. Every human is really good at finding patterns.
Okay. I like that. Do I get to start writing yet, Lucas? Are you going to let me write anything yet?
No.
Oh.
No, that's one of the biggest mistakes, is writing too soon, is thinking you know what to say before you've done this. That's why most ads don't work. Just straight up, most ads don't work. And I think it comes from, okay, I want to see something tangible for my effort. You know, I don't blame anyone for it, but unless, think about it from your perspective, right? Some random person comes up to you and just starts talking at you, right? Unless they say the exact right thing, you're going to blow them off or you're going to call the cops. That's how it is with ads. I mean, if you're wrong on how you're saying something, then they're just not going to pay attention or they're going to not like you.
Yeah, I'm good at that. All right. So what about testing? What are your thoughts on testing? Are you an ABC guy? You're going to run three and then look at the numbers?
It's really important, but I think that people obsess over it too early. So I think that testing is relevant when you have a significant amount of data. And I'm talking, you know, if you're an online entrepreneur, I'm talking thousands of clicks. If you are a local entrepreneur, I'm talking dozens of people walking into your store, or, you know, a couple dozen clients, like data, good numbers. Because until you have a base of data, it's called the control, you don't really know what to test. You don't even know how to test against other things. Now, the only caveat to that is if everything you're testing is zero, like if you're putting something out and it gets nothing at all, and then you wait 6 months to try something else, then no, that's called the shotgun approach. You want to put out as much as possible, but you're not really looking to A/B test things. You're just looking for whatever hits, and then you double down on that and you go figure that out more. That's how I feel about testing.
All right. That's a little unique, the fact that you don't want to test. I mean, I would test even ad number one with zero responses, put two out there and see which one does better. No?
Personally, I don't think so. And that's just from experience working with clients, especially in a startup phase, where the difficulty of tracking and testing for someone who's just starting out is usually overwhelming. And oftentimes they use too small of a data set to make an actual number. And once you start testing, you completely split your budget, at least by 50-50. But if you're trying multiple things at once, it's 33, 33, 33, or 20, 20, 20, 20. Like, it's you're diluting your budget on a small test that is not giving you the results to really see if those tests are working. And if you're trying to A/B split on one ad, then you haven't really verified that even the concept works. Does that make sense?
Sure, totally.
Yeah, that's my feeling, at least for startups. I think testing is incredibly important once you start to scale up and you've got traffic. Absolutely.
Okay. Lucas, we are out of time. I think that we have just barely scratched the surface with you, and we all need to sign up for the newsletters. How can we find out more, follow you online, sign up for the classes that start pretty soon, 1st of April or so? All of the above, please.
Yeah, so you can find me at myname.com, lucasreschesky.com. And that has a lot of resources on there, including the entire first version of my mentorship program for free, no opt-in. You can just go look at it and you can go learn from it. It's dozens of hours of content. I feel like it's really valuable. If you want, you can sign up to my newsletter on that website. And I also post a lot of content on Facebook. You can follow me on the same name, Lucas Reschesky. Just got to Google that in there. I spell Lucas differently. Reschesky is kind of unique, so you shouldn't have too much trouble finding me. But if you do, just go to my website, send me an email, and we'll connect there.
It's LUKAS and then RESHESKE. Lucas Reschesky. Lucas, thank you so much for being with us. Great stuff, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate your time.
Well, we are out of time. Have a great day, everyone. Take care. Bye now.